Welcome to I Feel Tried, the podcast. I'm Dez, and today my co-host is Kiana, and we felt that it was super important to just have an open dialogue about everything that's going on in the world right now. So to do that, I reached out to my good friend Natalie that can kind of help shed some light and answer any questions that I may have or Kiana may have, and I'm going to try to speak on behalf of just everybody's place that I think that they might be coming from, judging by what I'm seeing on social media. That's kind of all I really have to go off of. And let's just hope that this could be a safe space for everybody to just really have that conversation. So welcome, Natalie. How are you doing?
Hi, Natalie.
Hi. It's been a week. It's been a month. It's been a year.
Yeah. What is going on?
It's like, been a year.
With the world since the start of the year, but especially in the past 2 or 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on?
Shit is getting real, as Cardi B would say.
Shit is getting real. Shit has been real. One of the things that I hope I'm never coming off as is somebody who is just now kind of ringing the bell, mm-hmm. just because I see a pattern of everybody else doing so. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, that is the case. You know, I am just starting to post these things because I'm seeing everybody else do it. But I'm also acknowledging that these things didn't just start happening because people started posting on Twitter and Instagram about it mm-hmm. for the past week. And so it is important to acknowledge that this has been going on forever. And that's why the outrage and the emotion, the passion, the riots, that's where this is all coming from. It's kind of like the last straw, the boiling point, as I've been hearing. Kiana, I know that I've been seeing a lot from you. I know that I've been learning a lot from having conversations with you, whether we're recording or not. Mm-hmm. And you've really kind of helped me to see this from a first person perspective, you know, coming from you, who you're African American, and
mm-hmm. I am,
and you live with these sorts of this just in.
breaking news.
And so these are the kinds of things that you worry about or that you think about on a daily basis.
I think about it often. I think about, you know, because when a black man dies, it's almost like our whole community is mourning of this of this beautiful human being. And I feel like right now, it's not that we're only mourning; it's everyone. And I think that's a beautiful thing to really notice, is to realize, it's just the fact that more people are coming to the forefront, kind of, you know, mm-hmm. trying to enforce this change and like this flawed system that has been years and years and years of just needing, or just like basically we've needed to wipe off the dust for years of this like old traditional way of mm-hmm. doing things. And I feel like this is not only the perfect time because we're all in our house and we're all just kind of, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like always an influx of just so many things now about this whole mm-hmm. movement. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. But I think about this every day because this is actually just mm-hmm. reality, unfortunately.
For so many people.
And, you know.
For an entire community, really. I mean, I think, like I kind of said, I'm going to reiterate my point of why things are so loud lately. It's because, you know, social media has so much that is harmful, mm-hmm. but when you use it in the right way, it can be mm-hmm. very impactful. And I think right now what we're seeing is a lot of positive reinforcement, people showing their support, mm-hmm. maybe people that are feeling like, mm-hmm. damn, my friends aren't, you know, they never show up. They don't ask me how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. They don't ask me how I feel about things. And now I think people are really showing up. And you're seeing the people that are not showing up and that are being silent. But Natalie, I've been seeing you posting up a storm, which has been really inspirational because I've been learning a lot just really following your stories and seeing what you have to say. And you just seem so informed. So I wanted to ask you on, and I know you have a really experienced background. Can you share with everybody where you're coming from and how you have your viewpoints?
So I think for me, I'm a person of color. I'm Mexican American. I've dealt with racist comments my entire life. You know, maybe from just speaking well, people don't think that I'm Mexican or mm-hmm. I don't have mm-hmm. an accent. So I think someone who's experienced something so not traumatizing, but something that has just made an impact in my own heart to know that where I'm coming from is coming from a place of love. And I would not want any of that to be on anyone, right? I mean, someone who's experienced that would never want that to be on someone else.
Yeah,
it's a terrible feeling. So I've done work. When I was a kid, my parents introduced activism as when I was walking with Dolores Huerta to protest farm workers' rights.
Oh, wow.
Speaking up for speaking up, and then moving on into teen dating violence and working with Peace Over Violence, an organization that helps advocate for women and men who've been victims of domestic violence and what are the signs and warning flags, and help do advocacy work in Sacramento for teen dating violence policies. And then carrying that work on through my work right now with Boys and Girls Club. So it's kind of just always been there. I don't think I've ever voiced as loud as I am now, just for this sheer fact, I don't want that. It's not for me to speak up to get attention, to be applauded for any of this stuff. That's not what this is about. So when I tell people, yeah, they don't know, because I don't share. I don't feel like it's not meant to be shared, because everyone should be speaking up for people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just me. But I think where we are now, I think, is a climate where things are changing. And I think there's a quote by a Harvard law professor that was in a movie that has always stuck with me. It was on the Basis of Sex with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and that said that the judge in courts and policy work does not change by the weather of the day, but by the climate of the era. And I think now we are in a time when this climate, from the pandemic, from Trump to people that have had enough, like there's so much boiling up to the point where people are just like, enough, like shit's off, like gloves are off. I'm being bold. I'm speaking out. We're done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I want to jump in specifically to the riots. So I can't imagine anybody who's listening at home who doesn't know exactly what we're talking about, but in case you are, you know, there, it really started with a cop who was detaining George Floyd, who was being detained on suspicion of, what was it again?
A fake $20 bill.
Forgery. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Forgery.
It should have been a federal case with the fake dollar bill, federal money.
So one of the officers, you know, was seen on video. He had his knee over his neck and he ended up killing him. And that sparked this outrage of protests. And then the protests turned to riots. And again, because I know this is a safe space, I want to kind of sound out to where I was coming from in the beginning. At first, of course, I thought, you know, this is something that we just continue to see, injustice of Black men, people of color, getting killed and there being no repercussions for it. You know, our cops are not being charged for murder, which that's exactly what it is. But when the riots broke out, I thought, what is that proving to anybody? My first thought was, oh my gosh, you're totally defeating the purpose. You're totally kind of ruining the, I think, the momentum that was going on with everybody being on the same team of trying to handle this injustice and put people where they need to be as a result. And then it wasn't until I really started digging into everybody's input, and, you know, you two included, where I realized that, you know, it's not for me to decide how people grieve and how they react when they've been dealing with these injustices for decades and decades and hundreds of years, really. So I want to kind of get a better understanding of how you guys view it, because I think you have always understood that you've kind of always been on the side of understanding the riots, whereas somebody like me had to kind of want to learn about it for me to be where I am now. So, Kiana, how did you react? Were you surprised that people were acting violently as a reaction to this?
Not at all. I think that, unfortunately, what's being sensationalized in the media is all of the violence, the just the parts that are violent, just the parts that are, they're, you know, depicting Black people as animals and, you know, as your president said, that we are
girl, he's thugs, not my president
or whatever. And I,
leave me out of that either. One, okay?
We don't, not my president.
I did not vote for that.
We don't claim
cheeto.
Him, but it just like it aggravates me because it's like these mm-hmm. we're retaliating, you know, and based off of the anger that people are that you're seeing in these riots, it's just based off of the police retaliation. It doesn't get mm-hmm. rowdy until the police actually retaliate in a way that's violent, because we would peacefully protest and peacefully walk on and, you know, and shout and speak up peacefully if the police...
And people still have a problem with it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're always having a problem with it.
It's yeah. just...
Any which way.
It's going in a direction that is meant to go. And yeah. that's why I don't have any objections mm-hmm. with this retaliation, because I feel like this is necessary. And yes, they're, you know, destroying property and things like that. It's like police need to stand down. It's, you know, they've become this militant, you know, they've enforced a militant, you know, authority. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not needed for that. We come in peace. We're angry, but we come in peace. We are actually trying to resolve some situations. If you have a problem with that, that's fine. We'll just destroy more because you mm-hmm. because we're angry too, you know. If you don't, you know, it's clear that you don't like us, it's clear that you don't care about us, and we're going to show you how much we're not going to take it. It's enough. Enough is enough, period.
Natalie, I know that you went to one of the peaceful protests, didn't you?
Yeah.
You were involved. I don't
went
remember.
To two.
Was it, what city was
How
it?
How was
in?
That?
So Friday, I spent the week, I was crying, I was frustrated. I had conversations with friends that I was just disappointed in. I felt like I was the only person that was having this opinion. I felt gaslighted by my own friends, mm-hmm. to say the least. Mm-hmm. So Friday night came and I was just outraged. I was angry. I needed to let this aggression out. So I went by myself. I went by myself in Westlake wow. Village. I got a Topper's pizza box. I ripped it off. I said, silence is betrayal. Honk for justice.
God, that's so true.
And I stood on the corner. Yeah, I stood on the corner in Westlake Village in Teal Boulevard, the intersection right by the promenade.
Oh, yeah.
And
I saw those
there
yesterday.
There was a few of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, there was a few of us there. And there was people just, you know, holding their fists proud, holding their signs proud. I was standing there with people I didn't even know and having conversations of why we were here. And to me, that's all I needed to feel like I wasn't alone in this feeling. So that was really empowerful. I was there for maybe an hour and then it was dark and everyone kind of just, you know, was just kind of going home. But I left knowing so proud that I did that because mm-hmm. I was like, do I want to go by myself? Should mm-hmm. I go by myself? Is it my place? Da, da, da.
You kind of like put your comfort aside to do something that you
yeah,
felt was going to be beneficial yeah. in the end, which yeah. is super yeah. admirable. I
and,
totally admire yeah. you for that.
Yeah. And you, and what came to me was, one, you got to be vulnerable. You got to put yourself out there and show that what your voice matters, and you can't doubt that fighting for what's right is worth it. Mm-hmm. So you got to just do it. So then that was Friday. And then Saturday, my friend Karina saw that I did that. And she's like, hey, I want to join. Like, can we go protest? I'm angry too. And I think, you know, Karina as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so me and her went on Saturday and we were prepared. We were, you know, scared at first because of what we've seen, but then we realized that's not why people are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we made signs and off of cardboard, we were angry and we went out there and it was beautiful. The energy was, I've been to the Women's March. I did the Dolores. I've done marches before. There is something so empowering seeing Native Americans, Black women, Black men, Mexican women, Mexican men, like coming together in a way that I have never seen before. And it was just a whole energy that was just so beautiful. You know, and then things turned different. We were marching and I saw with my very own eyes, nothing was going wrong, mm-hmm. which is what I kept voicing on my Instagram. Like, don't get this twisted. Mm-hmm. Do not get this twisted of what's happening here. Like, they blocked off by Trader Joe's off of Fairfax, and there was a line of cops there. People were angry because they blocked us off. We weren't able to keep marching. And the moment that something, like the smallest push from a cop, the smallest push ignited everything. And there's videos left and right to show that. Like, you can see people upset that they're just lining up there. I had videos shown of people just like lining up, not doing anything. There's videos all over the world of this same pattern happening. And then we hear three rubber bullets, and then you just see people run. Jesus. And I came home and I told my mom, and I was like, I felt like in that moment I was running from like a shooter in like a school, like the fear of like a school shooting. And I'm associating that person mm-hmm. with someone who's supposed to protect me.
Exactly.
With a cop.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
And that is just one fear that I had. That is nothing compared to what Black men have. Mm-hmm. The whole Black community. Mm-hmm. And so that to me was just like even more.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, you got to experience it. You got to do it. You got to find something to feel that rage that they are feeling, whether it's like for 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That you can feel that mm-hmm. to know what this is like for their entire life.
And that desire to even want to feel that, or to put yourself in the position of somebody who deals with this on a daily basis, is showing that we're in the right direction, you know, not as a world, obviously, or not even as a nation, but, you know, it's slowly and hopefully more quickly, we're all kind of pulling together, and we're starting to see everybody voicing that, that we really need to do more, you know? I did want to ask though, because, you know, there's so many people who are afraid to go to these protests. And even though, mm-hmm. you know, we can see more on social media, because like you said, the news doesn't like to highlight the peaceful protests. And it just, you know, from a journalistic standpoint, it doesn't make for the greatest TV to show, you know, mm-hmm. peaceful protests, people getting along, people marching in unison.
Right.
So it's just so ugly that in return, they demonstrate all the violence and all the ugliness so that it kind of, the people that are already judgmental about everything, or maybe mm-hmm. they are racist, or maybe they mm-hmm. just are kind of neutral where they don't feel that they're racist, or maybe they don't realize that they're racist. It kind of enforces that in them of, okay, well, I'm seeing violence and I'm seeing, you know, these people mm-hmm. of color doing all these horrible things. So, you know, how the hell am I going to change my opinion if I'm constantly seeing Black people and Mexican people, brown people going and looting and graffitiing? And
but then
it's really a hard spot.
But then you also see someone that we're supposed to call our president calling us thugs.
Oh my
and,
God.
And looters and just animals. And it's just like people are going to watch the person that's supposed to not, I mean.
Be our leader.
Know, our leader, basically.
Yeah.
Who are they going to listen to? Not us. They're going to listen to the president and now start calling us those derogatory things. And I think that's what we need the most, and that's why we should vote, because we need to get we need to get proper leadership into the White House, period. He has just exhibited behavior that is just buffoonery and just bigotry. I can't stand the sight of him. No one can. I really need people to really take this seriously and be like, you know, this needs to stop. Not only what's happening with police brutality, but just him there and not leading the way. He's got to go.
What's so damaging is that he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly how he's saying things. He knows, you know, choosing this word or this phrase is going to put
people sets us off.
Yeah, or it's going to put people mm-hmm. in a position to look at people of color as thugs or mm-hmm. homies, and you know, and put them mm-hmm. in that.
And language like that is not new. Mm-mm. Like for context, for people listening mm-mm. and thinking thugs is just a word he's throwing out, like 1915, Birth of a Nation, go watch it. Go understand where the concept of animal for a black man is coming from. Go understand the context of language being used to describe people of color. You don't need to hear thug for the first time from Donald Trump in mm-mm. 2020 to know that this is years, centuries of language being used to criminalize people of color. And I think it's just like infuriating for people who know that. And then even more infuriating for people to like not be aware that this has always been there. Like you can't, it makes me so angry. Just even like, you can probably hear it in my passion in talking about it, because he's used racist, you know, he's used terms to call Mexicans rapists. He's used terms to call black men criminals and drug dealers and alcoholics, and the list just goes on. So I think it's just like context, mm-hmm. right? You know?
Welcome back. So we were just about to bring up the people on social media that are on your timeline, that are on your Instagram, your Facebook, everything, that are only speaking up about their anger about the riots and about the protests and, you know, obviously about looting. But it's just so frustrating to me. I've had to unfriend and mute people that I see that they're, and of course, you know, they happen to be somebody who is not a person of color. They happen to have that white privilege. And they're only speaking up about their anger for the riot. And it's like, well, where were you when we were talking about, you know, Ahmaud Arbery and about people that are getting killed like almost on a daily basis? But you're here to show up about being upset about Target closing down? Like, I don't understand the friends that we have or that we think that we have that just see things so differently. Have you guys been seeing any of that on your social media?
You know,
is that a dumb question?
The silence is so loud when something like this happens. Mm. And I feel like mm-hmm. that is so prominent right now on Instagram mostly. You just notice people not really taking acknowledgement to what's going on, and not necessarily... That's not necessarily a bad thing. If you don't have anything to say, if you feel like you're not educated about it, you feel like you're ignorant to it, don't say anything. But repost something. Maybe privately ask questions, you know, to people of color. There's just something of a sense of like, one, like there's strength in numbers. And I feel like there's just no reason, if you actually feel the frustration, even privately, kind of voice it on social media, voice it to people that don't really know that you're, you know, talking about this in behind closed doors, because you look like the problem. And if you don't have anything useful to even say about it, it's just like, sometimes me and my friend were talking about this. He's also black. And we were talking about how a lot of our friends are not talking about this. They're not mm-hmm. they're not on their story and like kind of reposting things, and they're not even asking us questions. It's one of those moments where it's like, you know, maybe mm-hmm. educate yourself, just kind of care just a little bit, because we are struggling, and there's been a black struggle for years and years and years, and this is not only the beginning. And then obviously there's countless people that have died, you know, in the hands of this type of violence. And I feel like if you're not saying anything, that says a lot about you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was hesitant at first because I didn't want it to come off as, ooh, like it's a trend, or ooh, like I'm doing mm-hmm. this not from mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. genuineness of my heart. So yeah. I did take a moment to really, you know, study everything that I was seeing. And then when I saw something that really felt like, ooh, this seems like what I would actually say in real life, so I chose two posts that were really important to me. Mm-hmm. One of them was just highlighting how it was basically saying, like, you know, why can't you protest peacefully? And it was a picture of a car on fire. And then the other pictures were like, oh, no, not like that either. And it's, you know, people kneeling, or, oh, no, not like that either. And it's, you know, Kobe wearing the I Can't Breathe shirt. And just people are just never satisfied, whether it's peaceful or not. So what does it really come down to? Is it really about, you know, why can't you do this peacefully? Or is it really like, can you shut up? Like, what is it actually about? Because I feel like it's people wanting to not feel uncomfortable reading these things or seeing these things, and they don't want to accept that it's reality.
I think it's a lack of knowledge. I think when people are taught civil rights movements in school, they're taught about Martin Luther King, right? They're taught and have this image and how it's glamorized as a peaceful protest. I saw people protesting, like, why can't you protest like this? And it showed Selma crossing the bridge. Well, let's not forget when they reached the end of the bridge of Bloody Sunday. Let's not forget the struggles of all of the whole movements, from the Black Panthers, from Rodney King riots. Let's not forget that history. Because I think people think that protests are only sufficient when they're peaceful, which they have been, but in context of what they're talking about, it's a lack of knowledge and a lack of awareness and listening and hearing these stories. Because that's what I'm hearing, is when I hear these stories of talking about the violence, talking about the cars, talking about the looting, and I'm wondering what have you learned? Where is this coming from? Where are you coming from? So I can better understand and give you the right history and information and resources, so you can get educated about what is you're talking about. So yeah. I think a lot of it comes to around ignorance, maybe lack of awareness and knowledge.
And the word ignorance, I don't want people to feel insulted, because the word ignorance literally just means like the lack of knowing something, which doesn't make you an idiot. It just means like, okay, well, you haven't really fully understood or grasped or soaked in the concept of something. And it's the word ignorant is not always used to insult somebody. It's used to just perfectly explain the lack of knowledge, I think. Or I don't know if you guys can kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was, I think, in that context. I don't want the word ignorant to come at with a negative like connotation. I think it's just not knowing. You don't know what you don't know.
I think people with privilege tend to... Just like all of us, you know, everybody, people of color, white people, we all have trigger words, unless you're braver than me and you don't. But for the most part, people have trigger words, and even the word privilege, I think, is a trigger for people who are white and who have privilege. It's uncomfortable for them to accept the concept of having privilege. So maybe if you guys want to kind of help me explain what privilege is and why we're not using it to insult people that have it. We're just trying to get them to see, you know, you not feeling like you have to voice your emotion, your passion, is a privilege. You feeling like, you know, you get to choose not to acknowledge this is a privilege. Things that maybe people, it goes over their head. Those sorts of things are privilege. I don't know if maybe you guys can articulate it a little bit better than me.
I think it's just what you put in front of it. Like, a lot of people are talking about white privilege, which is very prominent right now in what's going on. And actually, a lot of Caucasian performers, a lot of different people that are in that type of community are actually speaking up and saying, I can walk outside. I can, you know, I can get pulled over and not be scared of getting shot. There are things that a lot of people, their reality is a lot different than the Black community or the Hispanic community. It's a lot different. And I think that doesn't necessarily say privilege. However, it just goes back to history as well. We just had a lot of animosity as far as like with just white people in general, that when this sort of thing happens. And I also think about the Karen incident, which is what they were calling the incident with the lady in Central Park. She was basically abusing her white privilege, in quotes, I said it in quotes, by basically looking at this Black man. He feels like he's in danger because he sees this dog not on a leash, and he and the lady proceeds to call the police and lie to the police.
Strategically, like, that's so...
basically crazy. Calculated, knowing exactly. that she has the upper mm-hmm. hand, knowing that when this, yeah. These cops do come, they will use specific force because she is Caucasian and they are, the, yes. they feel like they're superior, things like that. So I feel like that needs to be spoken about as well. It's just the fact that there are things that are happening every day that necessarily don't get filmed, that where people are kind of, you know, abusing their privilege. And I think, I mean, which as far as privilege goes, white privilege is something that I truly know mm-hmm. about, is really because I've been through it with work environments. I've been through it with different, you know, people I encounter. It's something that I'm very aware of. And I'm really, really proud that people that are from these types of backgrounds are saying, you know what, I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of the privilege. I know that I can walk outside. I know that there are things that I can do that some mm-hmm. people of color cannot do, that all people of color are necessarily, it's a little bit more of a fear, you know, when they do it. But I'm aware and I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm with you. I'm an ally. I'm with you. I stand with you. I'm aware that my privilege has been the problem mm-hmm. for years. That's powerful. But I'm saying that I am not one of those people. And I do acknowledge you and I do see you. That's basically.
And people of color appreciate that, right? Is what you're saying?
Absolutely. Me as a person of color, black, you know, because you guys are people of color as well. I just feel like coming from a black point of view, we've been so silenced mm-hmm. for so many years. It's like we couldn't say anything and we couldn't do anything to even, you know, enforce change. Nothing would ever happen. There's a reason why the numbers are growing and no one gets repercussions and no one gets arrested and charged. It's just, there's a reason why, because they never cared about us. And when someone like Ariana Grande is going on her page and saying, I'm white and I can do all of these things. And then she has this big platform and this, you know, all these fans that are actually watching this and they're like, wow, okay, maybe I haven't acknowledged my privilege.
I have to admit, I didn't know that Ariana Grande was white. I thought, I'm like, what do you mean? I thought you were a person of color too.
She's definitely... It's a touchy subject, but I you know, it's very...
No, it's necessary.
But, yeah, it's very necessary. And yeah. I just, yeah, that's how I feel about it. It's just, it's based off of just the fact that this has been happening for years. And
the reason it feels like people are only speaking up now is because of the tools that social media has to offer. And people use the word platform. I wouldn't use the word platform unless you have this heavy influence. Like, I don't have a heavy influence, so I don't feel like I have a platform. Luckily enough, this podcast does reach people in different countries and different mm-hmm. areas of the nation.
This is a platform.
This platform, I think, is something that I can be proud of, and that's why I felt that it was important to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, just to correct that, though, I think just to say that I think everyone still has a voice on a platform, right? I think just because we don't have a large audience doesn't mean we don't have a voice to show to friends, right? I mean, if you're watching mm-hmm. both mm-hmm. of us post, you're obviously mm-hmm. getting impacted by what we're saying. So I think, yes, larger audience, huge platform for sure. But I think just even thinking in like the smallest difference of within our families and our Facebooks and our Instagrams, I think it's still a small portion of that platform that we can be using to voice what is happening. Yeah.
Especially with the hashtags. I mean, as soon as you mm-hmm. post a hashtag, someone that wasn't necessarily following you will look at that hashtag and look at the content you put and follow you. Like, mm-hmm. you know?
The All Lives Matter people. We kind of briefly chatted about this before. Why is that so damaging to believe in? The All Lives Matter viewpoints.
No, there's so much. I will talk about it. I think for me, the easiest way to explain it is what has been said for many years. But I think in terms of like a visual for people to hear and understand, this visual has been passed around. I've seen on social media, which is great. It's the two houses. One of them is burning. One of them is not. And I think the easiest way to understand this is to put it in a picture, to visualize for people. People learn differently. There's different types of learners out there. For visual learners, if you see two houses, one is on fire, one is not. When the firefighters come here to put the fire out, which house do they put out first? The house that's on fire that is in need of help, or the house that is not? All lives matter is not saying, if you put it in context of this house visual, not all houses. We're not saying all houses, you know, don't matter. We're saying the house that is burning, the house that is in need of help, the house that is burning to the ground right now, that is in desperate need of saving, we are helping that house first. And that's the concept of Black Lives Matter, is that we're putting them first to make sure that we can say all lives matter. Because we can't say, the context of saying lives matter, I've seen things that has been posted that just says lives matter or all lives matter. No, I understand your heart is in a right spot, and I'm going to be bold and say it because it needs to be said. When you're coming from a place of love and heart, and I get that, we all are. But when you dismiss the concept and the saying it, Black Lives Matter, you are dismissing centuries of oppression of what this is fighting for. I think people need to understand that. I think they need to step outside and zoom out from what they're viewing to see the bigger picture, to see those two houses and really look and see, is your house really on fire? Are you the one that is being oppressed? Would you save your house that's not burning over a house that is burning?
Mm-hmm.
And beautifully correct me said. If I'm wrong, but the Black Lives Matter movement wasn't made to discredit anyone else's lives. I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, Black Lives Matter is because Black people constantly are getting overlooked and oppressed and killed. Yes. And it's kind of just like one of those where, like, hello, we're here too. Like, you know, include us. Don't make sure that we don't miss the bus, or whatever analogy I'm playing in my head. But to me, that's what that kind of means, is like Black Lives Matter is not saying Black Lives Matter, so now, you know, Black people are superior than any other race. That's not at all what it means. It's not Black supremacy. It's saying, hello, people, look at the history of the way that we've been treated in this freaking country, and acknowledge that we matter too. You know, we need to have people to speak up for us. We need allies. And your analogy was perfect. That's one of the things that I also really resonated with me, that I chose to post. It's exactly that analogy of, if there's a neighborhood on fire, you're all going to get saved, but let's focus on the one that's actually on fire. Okay. That's not saying your house sucks, so let's like let that shit burn. It's saying, no, this one is at risk, so let's help that one. I'm glad you brought that up. That is something that totally, I think, paints a picture for people who either don't understand or are trying to understand a little bit better.
Absolutely.
So maybe one of the last things we can bring up is the looting, because I want to be corrected here. I'm willing to sound uninformed so that you guys can kind of help me understand better. I now feel, when it comes to looting and graffiti and breaking into businesses, I feel that it's gotten to a point as of today where, like literally today, where people are not, like the people that are actually doing all this physical damage are not participating in the message behind the riots. It almost feels like people that would be looting on a normal Wednesday are using this as an excuse. So they're kind of capitalizing on the people that are protesting in the right spot. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of overspeaking. I'm ready for somebody to correct me if I'm wrong. But it just feels that way, that now it's kind of getting out of hand. It's almost getting redirected from what the true cause is. How do you guys feel about that?
Okay. So from my point of view, I haven't been in these protests and I haven't been a part of this type of thing. But the way that I see it is, they're doing whatever they can to get their point across. I feel like it's bad, you know, on all ends, that things are being destroyed. You know, that businesses are you know, being destroyed and being broken into. When I heard that people were stealing things out of like Gucci and like
they're That's stealing, what I'm talking yeah, about. I'm zeroing in on, I saw footage yesterday on the news of people one by one, and this was maybe a dozen people, like going in, kneeling in, hunching into like a Levi's and stealing jeans. And to me, I don't get how that serves the purpose of Black Lives Matter. I'm wondering, you know, where in their heart do they feel, oh, okay, so I'm going to take these jeans and I'm going to run out of here and it's going to help the cause. I just don't understand that. I'm feeling a disconnect the further we get into this.
I think it's multi-sided. I think there's mm-hmm. multiple sides. I don't think it's necessarily like a, like no looting, looting. I think there's, this is a very complicated topic. And I think there's multiple sides to it. It's not just you have people going into Gucci. You have people also going into food places, getting food, and then using that food to help protesters. So, and then you have people who are these organized groups through white supremacist groups that are coming out with articles that they're organized mm-hmm. and they're looting and they're trashing the name. And then you have people that see opportunity. There's so many different sides to this. And it's a really yeah. hard conversation to have because you can't just say looters are, you know, not part of the cause because you have, you know, you also have to think in context. People aren't getting paid. They're not in a job. People don't have money for food sometimes, and they're upset. They've been cooped up. This is a multi-sided conversation, I think. And I think when you have that context, it's a bigger conversation to have versus people are looting, they're ruining the image. If people are concerned with this image, people that are true to the Black Lives Matter and understand it, looting is not going to affect their position of what Black Lives Matters.
I know. I thought I was being like really like maybe being morbid or just kind of thinking that this wasn't a bad thing or not a bad thing necessarily, or just like that. I thought it was necessary what they were doing, just because it was, to me, it just seemed like they just get more angry with the way that the police are retaliating. And I feel like that's what happens. And it's sad seeing all the businesses and things like that being destroyed. But it's like, what else do you want us to do? Do you want us to sit at home and,
but it, you know, almost feels like you're not trying to get, you're not getting back at the police at some point. I heard that around my neighborhood, I'm probably going to sound like an asshole right now, but around my neighborhood, I heard that there were rumors on social media that people would be targeting the neighborhood because it, you know, there's real estate around here that is worth a lot. And to me, why? What does that have to do with it? You don't know who lives there. You don't know if you're hurting one of your allies. So how does, you're not even getting back at the cops anymore. Now you're hurting other people that may be wanting to help you. So that's the point that I'm trying to bring up. I'm with you guys, but I wanted, like I said, I want to challenge your mind so that you can explain with a rebuttal to help yeah. me and everybody else explain.
Yeah, totally.
I think it goes with what Natalie said. I mean, the times are different right now. We all lost our jobs. I mean, some of us, we all just kind of had to abruptly stop our routines. And we, you know, there were resources that some of us weren't, you know, allotted to. And then there was so many things that were taken away from us. People lost their homes. Like, there's just so many different factors, I think, that go into this, like Natalie said. And I never saw it that way. But now I see it in a way where, wow, things are different. We were just in quarantine. We were just, you know, the unemployment rate mm-hmm. is, you know, has risen. You know, we're in a depression. I mean, if you really think about it. And I feel like things are just like, they just like, I don't have anything to lose, you know, like, and I'm angry about it all. You know, it's just, and then you have again, the leader of the free freaking world is saying things that isn't helping the cause.
Yes.
It's just kind of instilling this, like, I feel like it's activating white supremacy. Like, it's just like mm-hmm. In their brains, they're just like, they're literally winding up their little, like their brains and thinking of all the things that they traditionally mm-hmm. already thought. They're now thinking it in terms of the modern black, you know, person. And I feel like, and that's the sad part about this, is like, you don't know if it's right or wrong, but you know that it's necessary, and you know that you can't you can't blame them. And then with what's going on, you can't, I just, that's how I feel about it.
And if it's a conversation about looting and violence, if they're upset about the looting and the violence, we need to turn that back on them and say, there's violence in the criminal justice system. There's mm-hmm. violence of what happened to George Floyd. So I think I'm not condoning or supporting any violent act, but I think an understanding is more of the conversation of understanding this multi-sided conversation, because you also have people that are white too, and you know, just breaking into places, and people are being aware of that. And I think when I was at the protest in Fairfax, you had people that were tagging who are not of color, and you had people, I saw two girls come up to these taggers, both one Mexican, one black woman, mm-hmm. and say, stop doing that. Like, knock it off. That's not why we're here. So again, multi-sided, you have people that are doing this that aren't for the cause, that don't get it. But then you have people who are upset about what they've been mm-hmm. gone through, like what they've gone through, and they're had enough. So I think a multi-sided understanding is just a better way to approach it than this is right, this is wrong, because that won't bring any solution or understanding. And
you're so brilliant at like validating every viewpoint, because I feel like what I said, I feel like you heard me, you understood what my intent was with saying that and questioning you. And you really made it, explained it like, you know what, you're kind of right. But also you still need to acknowledge that it's multi-sided. There's people that are doing wrong, but there's so many people that are doing the right thing. Yeah. And I appreciate and that's
what it's about.
That.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think everyone needs to hear that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, people need to hear that this is not right, wrong, you know, black and white. This is a multitude of shades that is just... You need to discuss it, and you can decide what you think is right. That's not for someone else to say.
And I think the mind is so powerful that anybody listening who thinks that their mind is made up on something particularly, you're able to change your mind. You're able to listen to things, and you're able Absolutely. To change your viewpoints, and don't feel pressured to stay in a box about something. And Absolutely. So hopefully we've said something today that somebody can kind of be like, you know what? Maybe I should kind of take a moment to really think about that and see if that maybe changes maybe something that was rubbing me the wrong way about this whole movement. And maybe I can kind of get where people are coming from, especially hearing it from people of color. And Kiana, I know that you were saying that this is something that you struggle with on a daily basis on behalf of the Black community. Is there anything that you guys would like to get out there before we close up?
Justice for George Floyd, and also keep protesting and keep just kind of keeping the fight, because this is something that we've been going through this for years, but also this feels like we're kind of moving in the right direction. So I feel like if we keep the momentum going, there's something that can actually happen with defunding the police force. But yeah, and Black Lives Matter.
I think, well said. That is beautiful. I completely agree. Yeah. I think for me, just like a big takeaway is just have conversations. I think when people disagree, I've had conversations with friends who disagree, and all I am asking, even with family members, I've spoken up in our group chats, and all I'm asking is for an understanding. I'm not here to change your opinion. Mm-hmm. You have the right to what you believe, but you also have the right to be educated about what is happening in a bigger picture. So I think just talking with compassion and understanding and really stepping in the shoes of trying to even for the slightest moment, the smallest amount of time, to think what it's like to be a Black man in America right now, mm-hmm. a Black woman in America, a Black trans person in America, a Black gay person in America, mm-hmm. a person of freaking color. I think people just really need to just reflect and really think of maybe their own behaviors, mm-hmm. and how can you, with that knowledge you have, talk to those friends, talk to your family members, and challenge their viewpoints, because I guarantee where they're coming from is traditions of pass down stories and experiences Absolutely. Of their own with Black men or Black women of color, people of color. So just don't be afraid to have those conversations and just do it. Just have them. Just start with, I'm here. This is a safe space. How can I support you is what people should be asking.
Absolutely.
So Black Lives Matter. They always will.
Well, you guys, that was a beautiful conversation. I definitely am so glad that you were able to hear my thoughts and explain things to me that I didn't really understand before. Like I said, I hope somebody else can kind of relate to that of wanting to know better, and hopefully you have a better understanding. And I want to thank you for guest co-hosting today with me and Kiana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I would thank you guys. I would love to have this you on so again. Great. My gosh.
Oh my gosh,
you did
yes,
so well.
Come back.
So yeah. Organized, my God.
You guys are great. I was listening to a podcast by two Latino women, and they said, in order to even speak up, this goes for any person of color. They said, in order for you to even make your voice heard, you have to do 5 times more of the work mm-hmm. to make your point across. And I'm sure Des, you and Kiana have heard this, and you felt like you've had to work 5 times harder to even meet a threshold of just hearing someone and having your voice heard. So you got to do the work. And this goes back to, you know, non-people of color, and how can you do the work?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you for saying I'm prepared.
Oh, yeah.
You
oh
sounded
God.
Great. Oh,
your,
my God.
Your notes that you sent me before this, I'm like, oh, my God.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power.
There you go. So where can people listening at home, where can they find you to read all of your informative posts?
I'm at Natalie Grace 42. There's a blog I have called Beyond Enough, just making sure people know that they are beyond enough. Resources for mental health, well-being, and I'm a big advocate of self-care. So make sure you take time to relax and rest your mind, because fighting injustice is a lot on the brain.
I'm exhausted.
So I hope you all are staying safe, healthy. I hope you're doing something to help the cause. And next week we will be celebrating Pride Month, and we will be talking to somebody in politics who will kind of answer all of our questions about everything in that realm. There is so much to unpack with that. So I look forward to that next week. Thank you again, Natalie.
Thank you,
Kiana.
Natalie. Thank you so much. Take care, guys. Be safe.
Yes, yeah. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.